We are so thankful for those of you who serve with our kids and take it a point to not just take care of them, but to disciple them. And it means a lot to us as a church. And so this morning, as we get started, I want to give you some updates. If you remember back in December, we took a mission offering. And what we said was we were going to sacrificially come together and give for the sake of the mission of God all around the world. And so we've taken already, I wanted to give you an update on where we're at on that as far as what the Lord's already taken that and been used already in different places. So one is in Uganda. We have, again, we have a strong partnership there in Uganda. This past, 2 years ago, we helped launch a new church called Kalagala Baptist Church, and Hope Valley was a huge part of that. Then we gave some to help them establish a structure in a building and just put a roof together so they could have a place to meet under in the rain. And then most recently we heard of another need where Pastor Robert, who's the one who oversees that church for us, he lives quite a bit of distance away from the church, so he has to travel in all the time. And we found out that, one, he doesn't have any transportation, so he was having to rent a motorcycle, jump on the back, and get taken every single time he was going about 30, 45 minutes away to this church. And he was spending more money on transportation than he was actually taking in for his own family personally. So we heard about that need, so we used part of the funds to purchase him a motorcycle. And so we gave the money to my dad, who just went over there just a little bit. He was there. You think he's excited about it? Yeah. So this is him. There's another picture of him, too. He's got you already probably showed the other one. You can go back to it. So he's excited, to say the least, about this new motorcycle. And then we have a video of when my dad and my brother were able to give it to him. So check this out.
Look, there's Poppy.
Whoa! I have a new Boda.
You're a Boda Boda man. You're most welcome.
I'm also a Boda Boda driver now. How are you, Brother Robert?
I'm doing fine, sir.
We have a small gift for you. For your ministry.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you, brother.
Amen.
This will now help you in your ministry. You won't have to walk everywhere. Now you can drive, preach the gospel.
That's great. That's really great.
So, congratulations. Amen.
I'm Pastor Robert Masajage, pastoring Kalagala Baptist Church. I'm taking this opportunity to appreciate Hope Valley Church and World Outreach Ministries for this opportunity of getting a new motorbike, which will help me to do God's work. With a motorbike, really it means that it will help me to help my wife also to go with her to the church and the family, because it has been, I've been going alone, leaving her behind, but with the motorbike, really, the church is going to grow because I will be going with her and the family. I really appreciate and thank God for such a wonderful moment and such a gift, which will make me reach places and church planting.
Amen. So, yeah. So Pastor Robert's just a faithful servant of God who gives selflessly and goes and takes care of this church. His prayer is that he's trying to raise up leaders that within that community that can take over the church in his place. But right now, as it stands, he's there commuting back and forth quite a bit. So continue to pray for them, Robert and his family, and Kalagala Baptist Church as we continue to partner with them. And we'll be going back again. Here's a little plug for the summer. We're going back to Uganda in June, and we'll have those dates a little bit later. So if God's pulling on your heart that you want to go and see the mission that's going on there, you're welcome to jump on that team with us. The second thing that we've done with those funds so far is that there was a mission partner that we have in Haiti, in Port-au-Prince, that reached out to us, and he wanted to do a discipleship conference with some, bringing in some people and housing them and feeding them and getting them ready for a basically a discipleship training. So here's some pictures from that. There's a group of them. There's Pastor McDonald down there who's sitting down. He's actually can't walk. He's paralyzed. He can't walk. So he has to get taken around everywhere that he goes, but he continues to take the gospel throughout Haiti, and he's just a warrior for us there. So he's the one who leads it there. We bought Bibles for them. Just exciting stuff to see what God's doing. So all that to say is this. So we're here right now in Christiansburg, but God is using us as a church body to impact people that maybe we may or even never meet. But that's what part of what it means to be the global body of Christ, where we reach out, we take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So thank you, church family, for giving and for being a part of the mission. And that's what we're talking about this morning. So this morning, we like to set aside a Sunday at the beginning of the year to redefine who we are as a church as far as our values and our vision and the mission that God has given us. So we like to take aside 1 week out of the year towards the beginning as we think through, okay, so what is God's big vision for us as a church? But then this morning, I want to go a little bit deeper than that, because I don't want to stop there collectively as a church. I want us also to look at what is God calling us to individually. And that means you and me. What is God calling you to do, specifically with the resources, the time, the opportunity, the relationships, the location that he's placed each and every one of us in? So what are we doing with the resources that God has given us? So we look at our vision at Hope Valley Church, and to sort of state it as simply as we know how, that is to reach our valley with the hope that is only found in Jesus, and to see lives transformed by the grace of God. That's as simple as we know how to make it. That's the vision that God has given us as a church family, to go after aggressively the lostness that's in our valley. And then as a result, it doesn't stay in our valley. It continues out throughout the rest of Virginia and the U.S. And to the ends of the earth. And so we know, because we have experienced the hope that's found in Jesus, and so we know that we've got to take that. It's our responsibility now to take that outside the doors of the church, which, again, we've never been a big... we've never put a large emphasis on a building. Like, we just never have. Because buildings are great, and we like this school that we've been able to meet in, and it's been great. But it's never been about the building. Because the church is the people of God gathered under the mission of God. And so we've never been about the building. However, that said, we are excited about the possibility of meeting. We have a new building location that we're looking at right now. The old Belmont building we're in discussions with the church. You can be praying about that, because on the 20th, their elder team board is going to be meeting to talk about us taking, sort of leasing their building from them. So that's exciting. We're excited about that possibility. But it's not just about the building. The goal is not to get into a big building. The goal is not even to build a big church. The goal that we have is to reach a valley and make disciples, and what's going to help us get there. One way that we do that at Hope Valley, and again, we're going to get to a specific passage in Acts in just a minute, but before we get there, I want to talk about how we do covenant, what we call partnership or membership, because I think it's a big deal. We do things together, and we are a huge believer in partnership. We say membership and partnership for a reason, and that's because oftentimes, so membership, to be clear, is all throughout Scripture. We see that. It's there. But in our day, a lot of times membership has taken on a different understanding. In other words, membership now has kind of become like, if I'm going to go join Planet Fitness, to become a member there so that I can receive certain benefits, right? So a lot of times membership has the idea of, I'm joining this organization for what they can do for me. Well, that's actually not the church. That's not how the church operates. The church is not an organization that we join. It's about partnering together with believers on mission. So that's why we use the term partnership quite a bit. We'll kind of use them interchangeably. So we are covenant members, covenant partners together in the ministry that God has given us. So the question then often is, okay, so what's the big deal though? What's the big deal with membership or partnership in this case? There's many more, but let me just summarize them in four sort of benefits that we get together and what church membership provides us. First is that it provides commitment. It's commitment to one another. It's linking arms together, saying, I'm not going anywhere, and we're in this together, right? So it's not healthy for a believer to continually forever just bounce around from church to church. There needs to be a time and a moment, whether it's here at Hope Valley or whether it's somewhere else, where you connect and you plug in and you serve and you bless others and others bless you and people pour into your life and you pour in the life of others and God uses your giftedness. But that happens in the context of a local church. And so it's not healthy for us as believers to just jump to and fro from different place to place. We saw this again when Danielle and I were in North Carolina. There's a ton of really great churches there around where we were in seminary. And kind of what we saw seminary students do, and I was just talking to Adam about this, because as Adam leaves us this week to go to Southeastern Seminary, I would encourage them, like, you need to find where that place is for you. Find and then be all in. Be all in right there. Because what we saw with our friends and people around us was that they were just kind of bouncing from the next church to the next church, wherever was kind of cool and trendy at the time. So this church had a really cool conference, and so they kind of go there for a while. And then this other church has something else going on for them, and so they kind of bounce over there for a little while. And that was sort of the cycle that we saw people go through often. And I'm not saying don't visit other churches. I'm not saying that at all. But find where God is placing your family. That's what we talk about membership is commitment with one another. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not bouncing from two. We're here together in the mission. Number two, it gives community. Helping one another follow Jesus. That's why we gather together. We help, encourage, and spur one another on in our pursuit of following and becoming more like Jesus. It's where encouragement happens, where spiritual growth happens. We have these things called, again, our hope communities, where we gather together in our living rooms, where we can pray for one another, and we can encourage, and you can cry together, and laugh together, and eat together, and all that establishes and builds together community. Thirdly, it's where care happens. If you bounce from church to church, it's oftentimes difficult to be properly cared for and to care for others because you're not invested in a specific place. And so it's where we get to care for others and be cared for by others. It's honestly when 1 Peter 5 tells pastors to shepherd the flock that's under your care and to take care for them. It's difficult for pastors to know who's under their care if you don't have meaningful church membership, because I can't possibly care. We can't care for every single believer in all of, you know, the earth. So God has given us, and we establishment of church membership, this idea of these are the ones that I'm responsible for and to care for and to see that we're all walking in growing in maturity and walking with Jesus. Number four, it's for accountability. It's how we keep one another accountable. It's being vulnerable and letting myself be fully known and knowing others around me. It's a safe place to be real before one another as we spur one another on to be more like Jesus. And this is hard because it's not easy to be accountable. It's not always fun, and most of us don't want to be accountable to anyone. But that's what one of the purposes of the church is, to come together. That's one of the purposes of church discipline or church the church's response towards sin. When somebody's walking in continual unrepentant sin, then we together, or as a church, we call one another, and in love, we draw one another back to obedience to Jesus. So those are the four, so just four basic things that church covenant partnership membership provides for us. And so the reason I say that today is because this month in January, at Hope Valley Church, we do renewable membership. And so now it's time for us to come back together and say, okay, is God calling me here at Hope Valley Church for this season and this mission to partner together for the sake of the gospel? And if it's not, that's okay. But we're saying together, we're coming together and we're going to covenant. And so we're going to talk more about that in our Hope Communities this week. We're basically look at what that looks like. We have a church covenant that just says, these are some of the things that we're committing to as a church family. It's super simple, but it's very meaningful at the same time. So I wanted to set that again at the beginning of the year, and we'll do this again next January. We'll do the exact same thing as we try to keep ourselves on mission, the mission that God has given us. And if you have any questions about that, listen, we're not going to drive it down your throat. We just want you to know where we are. And if you have questions about it, please feel free to ask us, talk about it. We're going to have a class, hopefully, in the next several weeks, just sort of like an Explore Hope Valley, where you can find out what do we believe, what do we stand for, what do we stand on, what are the non-negotiables for us. So encourage you to be involved in that. And just listen, just reach out if you have any questions about it. So that's how we partner together. We have covenant, membership, partnership. Now, that said, I want to be careful, though, that when we talk about the vision that God has given us to reach a valley, it can't just be, okay, our church is doing stuff, right? There has to be a moment when it becomes personal. All right, so hear me. It's got to be personal for every single one of us. We are never going to reach a valley if each and every one of us doesn't individually embrace our personal responsibility to make disciples and reach people and go after those who are far from God. So it's got to be personal. And that's why I want you to open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. The book of Acts is a phenomenal book. It's almost like a vision-casting book for the church. It shows us what was, what happened. It details and accounts for us what happened following the death, burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus, and the birth of the church. And so now we get to see the history of the church unfolding and the movement of God and the movement of the Spirit, and it's incredible to see. And in fact, Kevin and I were talking, I think we're going to probably take some time, if it's not this year, it may be next, where we just walk through the book of Acts and just unpack all that God has for us in this challenging book. So, but in Acts chapter 4, to sort of set the stage where we're at, so Jesus, again, died for our sins, rose again from the grave, met with his disciples, and then ascended into heaven. So now he is with the Father, and he has commissioned his church to go and make disciples. Now, in the aftermath of that, the Holy Spirit has now come, and now we see what happens as a result. Now, the gospel begins to spread, and people begin to come to faith in Jesus. And not just like a few people, but thousands of people are coming. It's like a revival is taking place as the Spirit of God is moving. Now, we get to this place in chapter 3 where there's this man who was born lame, and he was a beggar his whole life. So people would bring him out into the open area in the public, and he would basically just beg for a living. That's what he did his entire life. So then Peter and John walk by full of the Spirit and the movement of God, and basically they say, hey, listen, we don't have money for you, we don't have anything we can give you, but where's what we do have? And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. And this man is healed instantly, and it shakes things up. So now people are seeing this guy who was born a beggar, born lame and became a beggar, and now he is healed and jumping and leaping and shouting and praising God. And so something begins to stir in the community. Now, that gets out, and so, of course, the religious leaders are not happy with what's going on. It's causing quite a disturbance. So then you get to chapter 4, and they have, what you find out is that they had basically arrested Peter and John and brought them into custody to question them and ask them what has happened. So then you get to chapter 4, and we're going to read the first 20 verses. So just follow along as we continue that story. In verse 1, and as they were speaking to the people, and the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, they were greatly annoyed because they had been teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. That's 5,000 new believers, just so you're tracking. And on the next day, the rulers and the elders and the scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in their midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? You're talking about the healing of that beggar, the lame man. And then Peter, verse 8, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning the good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. They didn't even want to say the name. So they called them and they charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you or rather than to God, you be the judge. But we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. What I want us to look at for the next few minutes is just three, I want to say, like essential elements, I guess I would call them, essential elements to them accomplishing their mission. Three essential elements that these disciples, followers of Jesus, had that was necessary for them in accomplishing their mission, and we see it right here in their boldness, in their stand for Jesus and the gospel. The first thing we see is look at verse 8. It says, then Peter, who was filled with the Spirit, said. The first thing that they had to have as they were accomplish the mission that God had given them was that they were empowered by the Spirit. We can't do anything. Listen, we can't do anything apart from the Spirit of God. That's why Jesus said when he left, now wait there, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, who's going to be the comforter, the helper, the one who comes alongside and helps you and not just helps you, but indwells in you and lives and helps and empowers everything that you do. In Acts 1:8, he said, you'll be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit, or you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. That was as a result of the Holy Spirit power coming in and on their life. So they're now empowered by the Spirit of God, which gives them supernatural boldness to stand before the council and the Sadducees and the religious leaders and to stand firm in the gospel. But there's something else I think that was important for them and crucial for accomplishing their mission, and that's in verse 12. It says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. They were driven, listen, they were driven by a sense of urgency. And the urgency is, there is no other way for salvation. Right, so they've got this. They experienced Jesus. They know what has happened. They know and have seen everything. And now they're proclaiming that because there's salvation in no other name. There's no hope for anybody anywhere else. And so we've got to tell people the only way to Jesus. And so there was this sense of urgency that rose up inside of their hearts that propelled them, that drove them to take the gospel to those who were far from God. Now listen, as a church, and as individually, we've got to come to this place in our hearts where we are broken over the lostness that's around us, the lostness that's in our each and every one of our families right now, and in our community right now, and in our neighbors right now. And the reality is that unless someone tells them about Jesus and the hope that is only found in him, then they will perish forever and ever in a place called hell away from him for all eternity. And so that's the urgency that they have here that is driving up in them. And so it doesn't matter what may come or what persecution may bring, because they have this urgency that's driven by the reality that there is salvation in no one else, and they have got to hear the gospel. And that's what we see in Romans chapter 10. Listen to these words from the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." I love that verse. Everyone. Who? Everyone. Anyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom they have never heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. See what he's saying is there's an urgency behind it. How can our neighbors believe in whom they haven't heard? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? It's got to become personal for us. It's got to become personal for each and every one of us if we're going to accomplish the mission that God has given us. And then number three, so they're empowered by the Spirit, driven by urgency, and compelled by the gospel. Here's what I mean by that. Look at verse 20. For we cannot but speak of all that we have seen and heard. What did they see? What'd they hear? I want you to think about that. They heard the initial call of Jesus when he said, "Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Right? They heard that the call. They heard his teaching. They heard the way that he taught and explained Scripture and told parables, and they listened and they learned and they heard. They saw. What did they see? They saw miracles. Like every day, they saw the amazing happen. They saw the impossible happen at the hands of Jesus. They saw how he stooped down and loved those who were the outcasts of society. They saw how he spoke and how he cared and how he loved and how he sacrificed. They saw with their own eyes how he was crucified and how he gave his life for the rest of mankind. But then, what else did they see? They saw Jesus rise from the dead. They saw the risen Jesus. They heard his commission. They heard his command to go into all the earth and preach the gospel. They saw with their own eyes as he ascended into heaven. They saw and they heard all of these things. And so they get down to this point where they're so compelled by what they have seen and heard that they can't stop. And so literally what this word, like what this means here is, like, you can tell us all that you want to, that you don't want us to speak in this name, but we can't help. We can't stop telling what we've seen and what we've heard and what we've experienced from this man, Jesus. Because when you encounter Jesus, he changes everything. I love how they didn't go and proclaim out of obligation. They proclaimed out of the overflow of their heart. Right? Just out of the overflow of what God was doing in them. And that's how it should be with us. And so we minister and we care and we serve others out of the overflow of what God has done in us. So it's not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do and want to do. I mean, it's crazy. When we like experience a really nice restaurant that was really, really good, what do we typically do? We typically go tell somebody about it. Oh, you won't believe this place. Like, I'm like forever telling people about Cabo Fish Taco. Right? Like, there's like this crab dip that's there, and it's amazing. And so it's like this favorite thing that my wife and I do now. And it's like, we just love it. And I tell people about it. Why? Because they don't pay me. They don't have to make me. Like, I love it. And I don't get like deep fulfillment in it, but like, I really enjoy it. And so I tell people about it. It should be that on like a much grander scale, where because of what God has done for us, it overflows out of us. The point is this, though. It has to, at some point, it has to get personal with us. And the truth is that God has called each and every one of us to something. He has called us as a church for lots of things, but he's called you individually to do something. And that's where it's personal. He has a personal call on every single one of us. And I don't want you to underestimate what God can do through you. Like, I don't care how young you are, whether you're a sixth grader or whether you're 79 years old or you're somewhere in between or you're on the other sides of those. It doesn't matter what your situation of life is or where you live or where God's placed you or your work or who your boss is or who your employees are or who your family members are or who your husband is, or it doesn't matter any of that. Don't underestimate what God wants to do in and through you. Don't ever think that it's too small, that God can't use you and your story. I'll tell this, and then we're gonna kind of close out here. So we talk a lot about being a church on mission. The conviction I have, though, for me is that before I'm a pastor, I'm a husband and I'm a father. And so the calling on my life before the calling at Hope Valley Church or the calling at World Reach Partnerships or any of those things, the calling that God has placed on my life is as a husband and a father. And it's my responsibility to ensure that we're a family that's on mission. Not just a church on mission, but a family that's on mission. And so we try to find ways, simple ways that we can live that out. And we don't always do it. I can tell you right now, I promise you we don't always do it like we should. But it is our heart to be a family that's on mission wherever we're at. And so one way that we try to put that into practice is that when we're out, and you've heard this from me before, but when we're out and we're trying to communicate or we encounter people or whether we're at a restaurant or wherever, we try to find a way to reach out to whoever we're speaking with and connect with them. And usually we'll use a simple sentence, something like this. Hey, is there a way that we could pray for you? Is there any way that we could pray for you today? And I've told you stories before of how God has used a simple phrase like that to reach out to people and to bring down walls and barriers. And so I tell you that because I want to tell you this story. So this past year, Ross and I were actually eating lunch together. And we had our lunch together, and as we were about to leave, I took out one of our church cards that we have, and I just jotted a little note on the back to our waiter and just said, you know, hey, thank you so much for the great service. I just want you to know that we're praying for you today, and if there's ever anything that we can do for you, I'm available. Put my phone number on it, signed my name, left it there with the tip for him, and that was it. And then we walked away, we went about our day. A few hours later, my phone rang. And I said, hello. And he said, is this Jared? And I said, yeah, this is Jared. He said, Jared, this is Miguel, I was your waiter just a little bit ago, a few hours ago at the restaurant. And I said, oh, hey, yeah, it was nice to talk to you. And he said, would you have time for us just to get together and talk? He said, I'm really a mess right now. I said, yeah, absolutely. And so we scheduled the very next day a time where we could come together and talk. And I had people praying in our Hope community, praying for that meeting. And so we got together, and he began just to roll out his story, how he grew up and things that were going on in his life. And he struggled with anxiety and depression and was just an absolute mess. And I got to listen, and then I got to share with him the hope that's in Jesus through the gospel. I got to lay those things out for him. And that sitting there in the car, he prayed to receive Jesus that next day. So I tell you that because I want to fast forward that story. So that was that day, and we've begun to kind of develop a friendship with him. And so we see him every so often and try to keep that communication open. So we've texted back and forth. And well, fast forward to just a few weeks ago, we were again eating lunch, and so he was there, and he's become a friend to us now. And so we were talking with him, and at the dinner table, he said, it's just so cool how all that happened, and I'm just so thankful that, you know, that God connected us. And he said, Jared, I don't know if I've ever told you this. He said, but that day that you guys came in to eat, he said, just a few hours before you got there, I was sitting outside, and I was contemplating how I could end my life. He said, then God sent you to meet me. Never underestimate what a simple phrase, what a simple encounter can do in the life of someone else. God wants to use you, and he wants to use me to make a difference in our city, in our valley. We just got to take that step and walk in obedience to what God's calling you to do. What he's calling me to do. So what is it this morning? I don't know what that is, that call on your heart is. But my challenge is to take that step. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the call that you've placed on each and every one of us. The call to respond to the gospel. The call to follow you and to receive forgiveness of our sins and to die to ourselves and follow you. I thank you for that initial call. And then I thank you for the continual call that you place on every single one of us to be your messengers and ambassadors. Well, right now, I know that you have placed your spirit inside of us, and you have placed a call. And you're tugging on hearts right now in this moment, because there's something that they already know, that we already know that we're called to do. And we just need to take that next step of obedience. So Lord, I pray right now that you would work in all of our hearts. And I also pray, Lord Jesus, that if there's somebody here who has not yet responded to the call for salvation, that today would be the day that they settle that once and for all, nail it down, know for sure that their sins are forgiven, that they're a child of God. And those of us, Lord, who are believers, maybe we've been kind of sitting on the sidelines, but it's time for us to take that step. Would you take us, and would you use us, and would you then collectively bring us together as a church family and use us for your glory? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing. I encourage you, use this time to ask the Lord that question. What is it that you're calling me to do? And then be ready to take that step and follow in obedience. I want you guys to just keep that attitude of worship and look up on the screen. I want you to look at some mission opportunities that we have for 2020. Because maybe that the call of God in your life is a specific trip or opportunity. So this year, We have them categorized in two different ways. One will be local opportunities that we have to be a part of the mission. And that happens usually through our Hope communities, where we have outreach. Our goal is to have an outreach once every single month through our Hope communities, or through local community outreach events. We try to find ways that our community is already doing things and jump in there and try to help out and be a part of those. So maybe it's that. Maybe it's just jumping in one of those opportunities. We are about to launch and start a outreach mission team where one representative or two representatives from every Hope community come together to start to pray and brainstorm and plan events for our Hope communities. And so I've already talked to some of you guys about this, and I need a few more. So if that's on your heart, would you come see me? And I'll talk to you more about details about that. And then globally, here's some trips that we have coming up this year. We have Uganda, Africa, which is going to be June the 1st to the 13th. If you're interested in that, it's a medical missions, evangelism, church planting trip. Come see me. We're going to Montreal in July, 7th through 14th. If you're interested in being a part of that trip, working with the fleets as they church plant in Canada, then would you go see Pastor Kevin? He'll be ready to tell you some details about that. Alaska, we're praying for July 21st through the 28th. Mark and Aaron Caldwell, if you have questions about that. Again, some of these things are deadline sensitive, so like pray, but pray quickly, right? And go see Mark. And then finally, our trip to Burma, Myanmar, in November, which we take every year as well. So if that's on your heart, please come see me about that. So those are some opportunities just to be about the mission of God through Hope Valley Church throughout the year.